Let us pray. By the illumination of your Holy Spirit, O God, open our hearts so that we may hear your word and amend our lives. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Our first reading tonight is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 52, verse 13, through chapter 53, verse 3. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. See, my servant shall prosper, he shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high. Just as there were many who were astonished at him, so marred was his appearance beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of mortals, so he shall startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which had not been told them they shall see, and that which they had not heard they shall contemplate. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of God been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and a root out of the dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him of no account. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson comes from 2 Corinthians, beginning with the 5th chapter, the 16th verse. Here again, the word of God. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As we work together with him, we urge you also not to accept the grace of God in vain, for he says, "At an acceptable time I have listened to you. And on a day of salvation, I have helped you." See, now is the acceptable time. See, now is the day of salvation. We are putting no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we have commended ourselves in every way, through great endurance and afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, in honor and dishonor, in ill repute and good repute, we are treated as impostors, and yet are true, as unknown, and yet we are well known, as dying. And see, we are alive, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful and yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing everything. The word of the Lord. Be to God. So those of you who know me know this is a very meditative time of year for me. My father passed away on Good Friday, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Friday the 13th. And so Lent begins a 40-day march to his death. Now, I'll be perfectly honest with you. He died at 72 years of age. His father died at 72 years of age. His father died at 72 years. Going back to the Civil War, where the record stopped, they all died at 72 years of age. That means I've got 15 Lents left. Makes you think, doesn't it? Yeah. So I think in this mood is why the news headline hit me right between the eyes. A couple of things hit me between the eyes this past week. It went like this, the first line. ISIS has continued a slick campaign with the twisted theme, "What are you waiting for?" And it just struck me, if the merchants of hate have such urgency in their message, calling for young people to look within themselves and ask, "What are you waiting for?" Surely those of us who have a message of love and peace and reconciliation, surely that message of creative freedom given to us by God, surely it is that much more urgent. The reason, in my opinion, ISIS is so appealing to young people is they don't just preach. They practice. They don't just talk. They walk. And all they're doing is filling the vacuum of meaning that too many people fall into. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a message of love and reconciliation filled every corner of the vacuum so there was no room left for hatred? So, what are we waiting for? The Apostle Paul says that now is the acceptable time. That this is the day of salvation. He himself, he says, in writing to the Corinthians, he's been to hell and back for the sake of the gospel. And the Corinthians are standing around with their hands in their pockets. There's something wrong here, he says. Something has to be different than that. And he calls for the Corinthians to act because he says, nothing's standing in your way. Nobody's standing in your way. And certainly for us here this evening, nothing and no one stands in the way for us to make whatever the leap of faith is that we know down deep that we're being called to make. I can't tell you what it is, but you know, right? You know down deep what I'm talking about. That thing in the shadows, the thing that lingers from the margins, that voice that speaks. Right? So what are we waiting for? It's to go to that great prophet Nickelback. Are you waiting on a lightning strike? Are you waiting for the perfect night? Are you waiting till the time is right? What are you waiting for? Don't you want to learn to deal with fear? Don't you want to take the wheel and steer? Don't you wait another minute here? What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the right excuse? Are you waiting for the sign to choose? While you're waiting, it's the time you lose. What are you waiting for? Tell me what you're waiting for. Show me what you're aiming for. What are you going to save it for? So, what you're really waiting for? Everyone's going to make mistakes, but everybody's got a choice to make. Everybody needs a leap of faith. When are you taking yours? What are you waiting for? That's the big question of Ash Wednesday. It's not a reminder of what we don't have. We're ashes, we're dust. It's a reminder of what we do have, which is time. That most precious of commodities. We have time to reorient ourselves. We have time to make another decision. We have time to hear whatever that call is. We have time to make a different set of commitments. We have time. Doesn't mean we're going to. Doesn't mean we have to. But we have time. It's a wonderful thing. I mean, the alternative of most of being is not being. But we're here. It's great. Well, we dance on a knife's edge, but who cares? That just increases the sense of risk and fun and joy. We're here. We're alive. Pinch yourselves. And I realize that whatever it is that we've postponed, well, now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Whatever we put off and we said one day when the children are raised, or one day when we have the children, or one day when I have enough retirement account, or one day when I retire, or one day when the dog dies, one day. No. It's not one day. This is the day. This is the day. Tell you about my friend Ken. Went to see Ken very early in my ministry. In fact, I might show as a minister. I think I was still in seminary. I think I was in seminary. Went to a very, very nice house. Beautiful home in New Jersey. Spectacular, really. And Ken was about, I don't know what age he was, but he was a young guy. You know, beautiful family. Everything's great, and it's stretched out. In his chair, we're watching the game. Giants are playing. Okay, watching the game. I said, you know, Ken, this is great. You know, this is a great house and great family. And you know, you're working for AT&T. You know, and he says, yeah. And you know, I hate my job. I just hate my job. And he says, you know what? And the fact is, everything you see here keeps me in my job. I have to stay in my job to take care of all this that you see. He's watching the game. I hate my job. I hate my life. So I said, well, gee, Ken, you know, if God had, this is a seminary question, naive, you know, if God had a purpose for your life, if you thought there was a calling of some sort, what would that be? He said, I can't afford to ask that question. It'd make me unhappy. I'm not going to do that. He says, it's just too late for me to ask, he says. Well, the next year, AT&T gets broken up by the feds. And you know what? There were a whole lot of AT&T employers who were asking about what their purpose in life, what their calling was. And you know, for him, it was kind of liberating. Because suddenly he wasn't seeing another 30 years lived out at AT&T and being miserable. And there was Shirley. Shirley worked for Big Tobacco. Shirley was a chain smoker. Her boss was a chain smoker. All their colleagues were chain smokers. Everybody was a chain smoker. And then one day the doctor said, you know what, Shirley? You can't smoke anymore. Well, you know, this habit is what gave her that beautiful home and gave her all those perks and gave her all that travel and those wonderful vacations. And the doctor said, yeah. And, you know, you better be prepared to write your will in one of the next ones. So, you know, she gave up smoking. Never thought she'd do it. And, of course, Big Tobacco had something to say about her future when she did so. And that gave her a whole new lease on life. Her life changed. You see, nobody is so trapped it's ever too late. No one's so bound that the ties can't be loosened. No one's so dead they can't be made alive again. Isn't that what the end of Lent is all about? The breaking of the shackles, the loosening of the chains, the choices and the commitments that can be made. Now, some of us are living the life that we believe God has called us in light of our limited gifts. And we find joy in that. And that's good. That is wonderful. There's no reason for discontentment whatsoever. And for others of us, You know, maybe we think there is something more, but God right now has said, no, you're responsible right now. You stay where you are right now. The door is shut for now. And that can be hard. You have to be patient, but that can be very deepening in faith. And that's good too. But for some of us, I would imagine, this is just a guess, some of us just maybe are spiritual couch potatoes. We just want to roll over and take one more nap and just be left alone one more year. And maybe all of us at some time or other feel like a spiritual couch potato. So I'm going to share with you something paraphrased that I came across the other day when I was sitting on my couch thinking about how I'd rather take a nap, but maybe I should exercise. And it came up on my computer, and it was a poster that you're supposed to put up in your home gymnasium that reminds you you're supposed to be motivated to exercise. I'm paraphrasing it. This is nice compared to what I read that drove me down to the basement to exercise. Goes just like this. You're right, it says. You are so right. It is easier to do nothing than to take Ash Wednesday seriously. It is easier to just go back home than it is to join with others to make a commitment to change your world. It is easier to say, I give up, than it is to say, I can do it. So you know what? I'm not going to sit here and tell you day after day, you can do this. If you don't believe you can, then you can't. That's the honest truth. You need to do this for you. And if you don't want it enough, then you sure in heck won't achieve it. So go ahead, take the easy way out and sit on your big, fat, lazy keister and do the same old, another year, because in the end, you are hurting yourself most of all. You have this one chance at a really, really remarkable life, and you are blowing it. Remember when I said, follow me? I didn't say it would be easy or always happy. I said it would be worth it. The word of the Lord from a gymnasium wall, slightly altered. Amen.